What is this? Genesis chapter 25. You want to look at life, and specifically the prayer life of Isaac, second of those we refer to as the patriarchs, and just get an idea of the relationship that he had with the Lord, how the Lord blessed him in prayer, and even in some places where we look at, well, maybe if he would have prayed, he would have kept himself out of trouble. But we see in Genesis chapter 25, Abraham passed on from this earth, that God blessed Isaac after his father's death. And we see in verse 19 is where it begins. Genesis 25, verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So we see here that kind of a similar situation happened with Isaac that happened with his father, that his wife was barren, was not bearing children. But yet we see that he prayed. And the word that's used there is to entreat, that he entreated the Lord for his wife. It's the idea to ask earnestly, to beseech, to pray with urgency. And that it was not just for himself, it was for his wife. That, and we see a blessing in this, that they had a need, and he didn't try to fix it himself. That was kind of what got Abraham into trouble, is that he had, Sarah was barren, and so then they thought, well, let's have a child by Hagar. And that, of course, led to all kinds of problems. But we see that rather than doing that, that he prayed. He just said, Lord, please, enable her to be able to have children. Because we understand from just kind of the culture of that time that to be barren was the thought that you were cursed almost, that if you were, God was blessing you, then you would be fruitful physically in that way. And so we see that he prayed, and we see that the Lord answered, that the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And we see the verse 22, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And we see that as the husband, as the leader of the home, as he took the lead in prayer, that Rebekah was led to pray as well. That you think of it in terms that Abraham, God had a special relationship with him, a covenant relationship, that passed down to Isaac. But for Rebekah, that she was probably in many ways unaware of this covenant relationship, even perhaps unaware even of who the Lord was, in a sense, because there wouldn't necessarily have been that knowledge. We see actually with Laban and his daughters that they actually still worshipped idols. And so we see that this was something that was maybe foreign to Rebekah, but Isaac took the lead, that it was something that she had.
Was Laban idol worship?
Yeah, well, that's later on that we see that, because Rachel stole her father's idols. And then when he chased after Jacob, she hid him in the camel's furniture and sat on top of him so he couldn't find them. But we see that he took the lead, that he prayed for his wife. And that's kind of the thought, is any kind of husband-wife relationship, is if the husband has that idea of praying for his wife, any need that she has, any struggle, that he prays to God on her behalf. that the Lord blesses that. The Lord is honored. The Lord is pleased with that attitude. And we see that as Isaac, as the husband, led in prayer, then Rebecca was led to pray as well. And so she inquired of the Lord herself that she was having twins, which was a blessing, but it just seemed that they were just kicking and scrapping the whole time that they are inside. That it's certainly with any kind of child, when they're in the womb, that they're always kind of moving around and things, but this was very abnormal, and you could tell that something was unusual, and you can just think of it that these two boys were scrapping before they ever even got out and were able to.
I actually didn't even look at it that way. I guess it was a real physical thing. I thought it was just a natural thing of a kid, the baby moving in there.
Yeah, well, the baby moves, but this seemed to be something that was more than that, because it just. Because, like, I know with Malia, like, that she different times, like, she could feel like they were doing stuff. And sometimes she could even kind of see a foot kind of stomping out sort of thing. But this was just kind of all the time, just this big fight going on. And so the Lord explained what was happening, that there was two nations within her womb, two manner of people, that they, and we see that actually, that it comes to pass exactly as the Lord says, that they become two nations, and basically they're always fighting each other. That Esau gave birth to the nation of Edom, and Edom was always an enemy of God's people, to the point that when David had power over them, that he conquered them, that he actually was quite cruel to him. You wonder, well, why is he so cruel? Like, he actually tried to wipe out all the males in the kingdom of Edom, but it was just because they would always, as soon as they got strong, they'd try to attack God's people. And it was, he was trying to at least knock them back so they'd have a few generations of freedom from that. And so we see that these children are born, as the Lord says, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That this was God's plan from the beginning. It was opposite of what was normal. Usually the firstborn had the birthright, the blessing, and was to be held in higher esteem. But yet God says it's going to be different this time. But we see that with this, that as Rebecca, she inquired of the Lord, and that's something that we think of, these two words of speaking of prayer. One is to entreat, one is to inquire. That entreat is more the idea when we or someone else has a need, that we're seeking God's help for that. The idea of inquire is also something that we need to seek to do in prayer, is when we don't understand something, we want to try to make sense of something. We know that we're finite, that we don't know the end from the beginning, we don't know all the details. We can think something might be true and then find out that it's false. But we realize with the Lord, He knows all things, and so we inquire of Him so we would have wisdom. It says in James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that's what we should do, that we're not to lean unto our own understanding, that we're to seek His will. I think the more that we inquire of Him, the better off we'll be. That even when we have maybe a difficult situation, if we inquire of the Lord, even if it's sort of, Lord, okay, well, is this something that I'm going to have to endure for a while, or is it going to be over soon, sort of thing, just so we kind of know how to handle it, and just Because if we find out, well, it's going to be a few years of doing this, then we just know, okay, well, I need to just hunker down and deal with it. But that's the thing, that we need to inquire of Him to find out what His will is for us, get His guidance, get kind of a broader understanding that only He can provide. So we see that, of course, the children are born, and we know the story of Esau giving up his birthright for a mess of pottage. We see in Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And we see here, verse 2, that the Lord speaks to Isaac, and he says, or appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and on thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so we see that the Lord speaks to him. He gives him direction. He says, well, don't go down into Egypt. Stay here. Trust me. I'm going to look after you and I'm going to bless you. He gives him a reassurance that what he had promised to Abraham, it wasn't sort of the idea, well, Abraham's dead and so I'm not held to these promises anymore, that we understand with the Lord that he's going to keep his promises and fulfill them absolutely all the way to the end. And we see that he gives him that reassurance that he doesn't need to doubt. And so you think of it in this, that God has spoken to him and it says, stay in the land. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. But then we see a bit of a lapse of faith, because he dwelt amongst these people and he said, well, my wife, he didn't call her his wife, he said, well, she's my sister, because he was afraid, well, they would kill her for Rebekah because she was fair to look upon. And it's kind of the thought, well, if God's promised to bless him and be with him, he shouldn't need to do this. He shouldn't need to try to protect himself in this way, that Abraham did it twice and it never went well either time. And so you'd think that he would learn, but we actually find that if we follow the pattern, that Abraham kind of told a half-truth, because Sarah was his half-sister, but this was a complete lie, because Rebekah wasn't his sister at all. I think she was his cousin or niece, perhaps. I can't remember how it divides, but she wasn't his sister. And he got called upon it, and it was sad, because it was a bad testimony, of course. But we see that despite all of that, God blessed him, that he had promised that he would, and the Lord brought it to pass, that he sowed in that land. And that's kind of the thing, that they were nomads, they had their herds and their flocks, but here we find that Isaac decided to farm, that he put in some grain or corn or something. And the Lord really, really blessed him very well. And he waxed great and went forward. And he had great possessions of flocks and herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. And we find that he had different challenges with them, that he had to kind of go away from them. And it was kind of frustrating, because Abraham, his father, had dug all these wells that would be a blessing to people. But we see that the Philistines had filled them all up, so that they would not be able to partake of them. And that's actually interesting. I read a message by Martin Lloyd-Jones that was on, spoke on the idea of that sort of, there's so many wells that of blessing that kind of our forefathers have have dug for us, and so often they get stopped up with earth by the Philistines, and that they need to be dug up again so that we can enjoy that.
But things
coming
into our lives.
What's that?
Our things coming into our lives.
Yeah, well, there's lots of things that stop up the wells, like that we can add to it and others. But it is some that... It was a very good message anyways. I really enjoyed it. But we see that they were digging, and they dig a well, and they go to all the work, and then the herdman would come and say, oh, this water is ours. And so he dug, and so we find that finally after a couple times that he dug a well, and then they left him alone. And we see verse 24, Lord speaks to him again. He says, I am the God of Abraham. This is verse 24. Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And so we see that God speaks to him, and then Isaac speaks back to God, that he builds an altar there, that he honors him, that he worships him, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. And we see how that things have changed, that even though we had trouble with the Philistines that were there, that we find that Abimelech comes to him after asking him to leave. And the reason why they came, it says, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Now we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And we see that things have changed, that, and it was a testimony that he had, that the Lord was blessing him, even though these Philistines were heathens that worshipped other gods. They recognized that there was something going on in Isaac's life, that he was being blessed for a reason, that this God that he served was blessing him. And so they were actually afraid of him in some ways. They wanted to make sure they had a covenant so that he wouldn't be cruel to them. And so they made an agreement and they left, and he dug another well of water, and the Lord was blessing him. And we see chapter 27. It came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so he could not see, he called Esau's eldest son. And we see that he wanted to bless Esau, give him this blessing that we understand that was intended for Jacob by God's direction. But sadly, Isaac showed favoritism unto Esau, and of course Rebekah showed favoritism unto Jacob, and it didn't help either of them. It wasn't what should have been done. But we see that with Isaac, sadly, that he has kind of a lack of discernment, both physically, his eyes were dim that he could not see, but also spiritually. And in a time like this, I think we know the story of how Jacob pretended to be Esau, and Isaac kind of knew it. Something was up, but he didn't question it. And if he would have asked the Lord, the Lord would have, I'm sure, have shown the truth to him. And it, you think of it kind of in some ways that the Lord had directed him that the elder was to serve the younger, and that he had gone. He hadn't been following God's will in that. In some ways, this blessing of Esau was going against what God had actually wanted him to do, even though it was the customary thing of the time. And so we see this was a time that, like, we don't see him praying unto the Lord, and it would have been a time that he certainly, it would have been better for him if he had, better for everyone if he had had that discernment. But yet he had chose not to. And that's something with any decision we make, anything that we do, that we do need to continue to have that relationship with the Lord getting his discernment, because we can think we have things figured out, and then we find out that we've made a terrible mistake, just like with in the days of Joshua, that the Israelites accepted these people that said that they'd come from a far country, and they made a league with them, and then they found out that they were their neighbors a few days later. And it actually says in there that they took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And that's what got them into trouble. And so we realize that at this time that Isaac, he needed, especially because he was lacking in physical discernment now, that more than ever he needed that spiritual discernment. And so that's what we recognize, that the need of prayer is for that. And we see that he charged Jacob. He wanted him to make sure he wouldn't take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, that he wanted to maintain him as one that would serve the Lord faithfully. And he sends Jacob away. And of course, Jacob spends many years working under Laban. But then we see finally, this is just the end of Isaac's life. This is chapter 35. This is after he's come back to the land. It says, Genesis 35 and verse 27, Jacob came unto Isaac his father unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. In the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And so we see with Isaac's life that it, of the three patriarchs, he's the one that kind of has the least amount of time in some ways, because it switches to Jacob quite quickly, and there's a lot to do with his life. But we just kind of see a glimpse of the prayer life that he had. I think we see that it started out strong, but as he got older, it maybe wasn't as strong as it could have been. And so we realize that prayer is something that we want to work at, that it's a relationship that we have with God we never want to take for granted, and we want to continue to improve it as we get older. And I think more and more we should realize that the older we get, it isn't something that we kind of outgrow our need for God. If anything, our need for God grows even more. So may the Lord help us that we would continue to be people of prayer.